Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free, or there'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me, on to today's free podcast. Welcome to the Celtic Underground podcast, recorded just a couple of hours after the end of the victory over Rangers, and it's a Celebrity Square special because we've got four of us on, of St. Anthony, Andrew and Keith, as I go around. So has everybody had a good Sunday?
A beautiful Sunday.
Yes. So I'll get into it so we can get we can get this finished on time and not just talk about how brilliant it is that Rangers are definitely finishing third in a two-horse race. So, Keith, the team, what did you think of the team that Martin put out? The big thing obviously being McCowan wide right.
Yeah, that was the biggest surprise, the lot of them. I actually saw everything really, really late. For some reason, I slept in this morning till about 5 to 11, and our bus, the Jim Conroy bus, leaves from Blantyre. Leaves at 11, so thankfully my wife took pity upon my son and I and was able to drop us off. It's amazing how quickly you can get to Celtic Park when everybody else is in the stadium there. But yeah, that lineup was a surprise. Just go through the lineup if you want. Sinisalo in goals, Alistair Johnston at right back, Trusty and Scales in centre backs with Kieran Tierney on the left. Engels and McGregor kind of more holding roles I've got there, but you had Luke McCown on the right and Yang kind of swapping sides. I think you've said in the past that's his preferred position is on the left, with Negrin and Dyson Maeda up top there. It was a big surprise seeing McCown in there, especially when we saw where he was starting. I thought we were maybe going to either push Negrin out right where he'd started the season being played. I didn't expect McCown to get the nod in there, and he had made some decent little cameos in the past couple of games where he came on, but that was the biggest surprise. I think it was maybe a wee bit of a surprise to him as well when we saw his performance out there. I can see why Martin O'Neill was maybe looking to do that. Maybe he's looking to tire Rangers out the first 45 minutes. We know that they seem to do well. Never mind going for 55, they're looking to go for the second 45 in the next season. McCown maybe there to tire them out and then bring Tonecchio on whenever they were a wee bit leggy, and hopefully make a bit of a difference there. So you could maybe see if it was the longer approach to the game that Martin O'Neill was going for. He seemed to stand out in the team sheet, but he stood out in the game as well. God knows what he does to become a professional footballer, but not be able to trust his right foot to get passes and shots away. That was the biggest surprise for me. Other than that, it seemed quite a settled team that kind of knew positions. They were starting to get a wee bit of familiarity about themselves. It looked quite strong against that Rangers side.
Aye, so Andrew, I'm sure that inside the first 10 minutes, Martin had buyer's remorse about playing McCown wide right. I think for their goal, that was the third time that he'd been caught in possession and Rangers had moved forward with the ball.
Yeah.
I actually thought we started the game quite well up until their goal. What were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I thought they did. I thought Celtic looked aggressive. That's what you wanted them to be. You wanted them to be in Rangers' faces. You wanted them to be going for those 50-50s. But you had that from the likes of Engels, and even, well, you always have it from Maeda or whatever, like a Yang. I think Yang stands up physically in these games. But all that highlighted how much McCown was struggling. It was like they were just running through him. Romans, he couldn't get any traction against Romans at all. And that, when he was just sacked on that occasion for the... I mean, I did actually think it might have been a push on him, but Ross, who'd watched it on the telly, and Keith's shaking his head there as well. Clearly wasn't enough of a push. You know, he should have been stronger physically. And he just looked by, as the half wore on, McCown was looking like a guy who just felt that he was in the wrong movie. He just, you could sense that, you could see his confidence draining, almost draining in front of you. And that was, there was no surprise then that he was hooked at half time. I mean, I did feel for him, but, and he put in a great ball for the, and it was very clever because for Celtic's equaliser, because Johnson makes the run to his right, but Johnson, because that was right in line with us, so Johnson runs offside. So McCown checks, recognising he shouldn't pass it on the outside on the right to Johnson because then it'll just be flagged offside. So he steps inside and then he plays the ball over, which really opens the way for that goal to be scored. He made an important intervention when it came to the goal. And that's the
he
best.
Did. I mean, actually, he was involved in both goals. He was, yeah. he was the last contributing factor to the Rangers goal. Although, just in general, our defence just seemed to be all over the place. And then, obviously, puts the ball in for the equaliser. So, St Anthony, I said we started well. So, what were your thoughts when Rangers then take the lead inside whatever it was, 10, 11 minutes?
I have to say at that point, I didn't think it was going to be our day, to be honest, because it was a very open start to the game. We had chances, they had chances. And I'm trying to think when Chirmiti dragged the shot past the post, was that nothing each?
No, I think that was a 1-0. Yes. What was it?
Was it nothing each?
Nothing
because,
each.
Because I actually thought for a split second that was going in, but from my angle. And then when Rangers have scored the goal, I'm thinking, well, we could be 2-0 down here. Having said that, we were doing fairly well middle to front. But I felt that Trusty, in particular, was having trouble with the big Rangers forward. And he never really got to grips in the whole game. But he stuck to his task, which was good. And it was reassuring to have Johnson back at right back, because I think, especially going forward, he makes fantastic runs, which I think helps the midfielders and the wide players to give him an option. I was really surprised that he started McCown from the point of view that the last few games against Rangers, when we haven't done well, they've overrun us in midfield. We don't have any physical presence in midfield. That's been a big criticism that I've labelled at Celtic teams for about the last 4 or 5 years in successive managers, because we don't have a ball winner. We don't have anybody that can protect the back four. And even when you look at the big teams down in England, they've all got somebody quite physical and mobile in the middle of the park. We don't have that. We've got guys like McGregor, Nygren, Engels, very technical players, Hatate, but not one of them you would be comfortable tackling and winning a ball. So to bring McCown in there, I think, was to give Celtic really it looked to me at one point as if we were playing 4-4-2, because Nygren was going beyond to support Maeda, and McCown was basically on the right-hand side of a midfield four. So I know what Martin Neal was trying to achieve there, and I think we did it up to a point, because it stopped Rangers maybe dominating as much as they have in previous games. But clearly, as you say there, it wasn't working, and there was no surprise when McCown went
on. So, Keith, we've mentioned the Rangers goal, and Andrew's touched on the Celtic equaliser. I've watched back the Celtic equaliser. There's a lot of clutching at straws going on with Rangers fans. One of St and I's mates us regularly points out, when we were shite in the 90s, we used to complain about refereeing decisions in every single Celtic Rangers game, and obviously that's what they've been doing now for 15 years.
With good
years.
Reason.
That's unusual from you, Andrew.
Well, I was living it. I was like having to put out a blooming club publication every week in the back of these games.
You know, there is, well, what's your view, Keith? They're claiming that there was an offside because the Celtic player who was in an offside position was blocking Butland's view of the Yang shot. So what's your thoughts?
He's got to do it Marcel Marceau.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, for people only listening. Right. Andrew, so have you seen it back? Their goal?
Like the Rangers' goal?
Aye, the Rangers. Sorry, no, our goal, their equaliser. Yeah. They're claiming.
I must admit,
Celtic players were offside.
See, when everybody was getting excited, I said, no, that's going to be chalked off for Nygren being in front of the keeper. And I still think you could see a case for it. I mean, there was one that Rangers got chalked off. You know how they've got this run of 14 goals, I think, that have been chalked off, twice as many as anybody else. And the guy, a guy put out a tweet with them all, and I thought, oh, I'll need to watch these to see if they've got any legitimate grievances. And there was only two I could find legitimate grievances. That was one of them, the one that apparently the keeper's view was blocked. But you can see it that Negrin is not actually blocking Butland's view of Yang. There's a clear path that Butland has to see, but you can still see these ones. You can still see these ones kind of pulled up by VAR. I have to say, and if it was like flip it round, would we see a case for saying that if Celtic lost a goal in that fashion to Rangers, would we be sitting here grumbling about the decision?
I'd have a bag of straws that I'd be desperately clutching at, Andrew, if I was doing that. Honestly.
You don't want my joke about clutching at straws again. You know, that was too lowbrow the other week. But there you go. Okay. But, no, I mean, sometimes you have to step outside yourself and say, well, how would I feel if the roles were reversed? And there would be no end of tweets getting put out for Celtic Sports saying this is a disgrace. I don't think it... Yeah, but it... There's no objectivity. That's what I'm saying. There's no objectivity. If you're objectively looking at it, I could see a case for people thinking that Celtic maybe got away with one.
That's if you're slowing the game down to freeze frame by freeze frame. That in the heat of the moment and the speed of the game's going, the time the ball's played back to Yang, everybody's moved that little bit further over. He would have seen where Yang was at the time. He's not going to have enough time to adjust his feet and get set for the save. If you're looking at it and just in the flow of the game, the ball's passed him before he even like gets his feet down to make the move for a dive. So it would have been as you say, clutching at straws to claim that should have been disallowed for an offside. The strike and to find that little bit of space when the full of the goal line seemed to be covered was terrific from Yang, and it was a great pass from McCown to get through. That's to me just getting a chance to see it again. The highlights of it there. I didn't at the game. The pass was exquisite. It reminded me of Tom Rogic's pass to Jota for the dink, just the way that absolutely cut them to shreds. It's stunning pass. The cutback was brilliant, and we did that quite a few times today. The cutback seemed to be a big part of the feature of our play. We talked about not being able to see like features of our play in recent weeks. Now we're starting to see it. Those cutbacks were stunning and deadly when we used them to full effect like that.
I thought there was that wee bit, because obviously it was going to VAR, where Danny Rowell then pulls the Rangers team over for some tactical chat because it's going to VAR. And then we went over to the dugout. And I don't know about you, Sam, but I thought from that point on in the game, we were a better team. I would put today's performance in our top three performances of the season. I know it's not difficult because we've not really had, but in general, from the minute we got that equaliser, I thought we were a better team.
I felt very relieved when we got the equaliser, because I think if Rangers had took that lead in at half-time, it might have been a wee bit more of an upward struggle, uphill struggle for us to get back into the game. It also, not only did it give us confidence, but it set Rangers back as well. And it gave us a huge lift. There was two sort of half chances before half time. Well, there was one really good chance, actually. The one that Maeda went through. And it showed you that the frustration of Maeda, the contrast in him, that he runs onto a perfect through ball. And the keeper actually showed him where to put it. I mean, there was this big, from my seat, I could just see this big gap. And I'm thinking, all you need to do is place it in there. It's so simple. And he was well wide. And then there was one just on half time where Yang, on his left foot, tried to hook it. And it sort of spun over the bar. I think if you'd have connected with it, you know, that might have been something. It was a relief when we got the equaliser, because it meant that the game wasn't going to run away from us at that point. And it also meant as well that I think everybody I spoke to at half-time were saying that this is the 45 minutes that the team have to stand up and be counted. And I'm actually quite proud to be on here tonight to be able to say that every one of them stood up to be counted. I know we could go through them 1-11 or how many subs we had, and pick faults, and this guy didn't do that, this guy didn't do this. But as a team, everybody put a shift in. I don't think we had a bad player on the day. McCown, I know you've already discussed McCown off at half time, but the anybody who I'm not a great Tonecki fan, as Brian knows. Very, very critical.
You're a fan of anybody? Like, I can't remember you being a fan of anybody in the current setup, Stevie.
It's very difficult to point out anybody who's really been consistently good. Again, it's not a case of criticisms, it's a case of giving it plaudits. The defence, you know, became a wee bit more so. The midfield never stopped working. And then up front, we were always a threat. And Maida ran his heart out. I mean, the one thing is, if this is his last season, and there's every chance that he'll leave in the summer, but that guy's energy and his movement is absolutely unbelievable. It's just, it's hard to describe. It's almost, he's almost robotic.
Yeah.
You know, there was also...
Sorry, I shouldn't have buttoned. Sorry, I've been so used to hosting the last month or 6 weeks, Brian, that like, I'm getting above my station here. My apologies. I am but your servant. While I'm on, but while I'm on anyway, what have I said to you about Maida? There's a lot of talk about the difference in the team this year and last year, and Kuhn going da 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 da. The biggest difference is Maida's form just went through the floor. And you see Maida being backed to 6 goals in his last 4 games. That'll take you through in Scotland. That'll get you the wins to win a title. If Maida had shown this form for a month more, Celtic would have probably been home and hosed by now. I hate to sound like Duco James, but you can misattribute to how much a manager influences and how much this influences and that influences. You can have one of the best players in Scotland, if they're on their top form or really off the boil, can make a huge difference. We see that, as Keith pointed to, with Johnson. You see Johnson back in the team. You see Maida playing to his level, or playing to his optimum level. All you need is 2 or 3 players, because once you have those 2 or 3 players, they're the best 2 or 3 players in Scotland, because Celtic, as we've talked about often, have the best players. When everybody's playing at the peak of their form, Celtic have the best players in Scotland.
I just felt in that one you were talking about, saying that Maida just, in those options, he opens his body too much.
Yeah.
So that he's way wide, and that's why the ball goes wide. You know, there was one in the second half where he's through. It was offside at the end, right? And as the ball's played through, everyone round about me thought, yeah, that's
offside. You missed that as well.
But I still didn't get off my seat, because I fully, if you'd have asked me to put a bet on this, I would have put a bet on him missing it. Because, well, that's why we didn't play Champions League football this season, because he was missing chances like that. But he's always been a bit, it's more that he had an incredible purple patch last season, because he was always missing chances like that.
Since he's come to us. Flying through the years about Maida's value. I mean, we both value him as a player, there's no any doubt in that. But he always made the point that, especially when Kyogo left, we can put Maida through the middle. And it did work to an extent last season where he had the purple patch. But I never ever regarded him as a natural finisher. He's very good in what he does. He will score goals. But you know how that way, when you see a striker, and as one of you alluded to there, they open themselves up perfectly and curl a bunt in the net, it just comes naturally. I get the feeling with Maida that when it comes to scoring goals, does they come natural to him? The way that it did to Kyogo, the way it did to Lee Griffiths or Edward or Dembele or players like that. And that's why I often think that he's more effective on the left, because he's good at assisting Celtic to press teams back, because he has that Duracell bunny energy where he just runs and runs and runs and runs. He's been such an effective player for us. Andrew's right in what he says there, that if only Maida could have maybe hit that form at the new year, rather than waiting until maybe Easter. We would be out of sight now. In terms of the actual...
Big Nancy saying that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe you should have played him. Maybe Nancy should have played him through the middle. He didn't play him through the middle, did he?
I think he did in some games.
Did he? God, somebody will be getting on the chat again saying my memory's failing me again, which it probably does. But you don't, maybe because you tend to remember the Johnny Kenny games, the Johnny Kenny misses from that period, you forget that how much he played through the
Well,
middle.
When we should have scored 75 goals in the first half against Dundee United and lost the game. that one.
74 in the first half against Rangers.
One other chance, Keith, in the first half when we were 4-on-2 and Nikrin is carrying the ball and anybody's knows anything about football is just thinking, play it to Yang, play it to Yang, play it to Yang, play it to Yang. And he's just carrying it and carrying it and then eventually plays it to McCowan's heels. And you lose and you think, just play it to Yang. Yang's through. They've got two guys. One of the guys has to go to Yang. Either Yang can go in or he can put the ball across the box and we've got 3-on-1. It was just incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, we don't seem set up to be able to hit teams on the attack like that. I think maybe because teams sit in so often on us in domestic games. But that should have been a goal. That really should have. You're wanting Negrin to commit one of the defenders and then just slide Yang in the left-hand side. He's then coming on with his right foot, being able to either drill it in at the near post or curl it into the far post. I think after the way the half had been going, the last person that everybody wanted to see in the stadium get the ball was McCowan. Like you said, I felt sorry for him because the pass wasn't quite good enough. It was to his heels. McCowan again wanting to cut in onto his left foot, where it looked so much easier just to hit a strike with his right foot. Going across the goals, Yang would have had a tap in. Maeda was there as well. It was unfortunate for him, but it helped build the confidence in the stadium that we were still creating chances, that we were able to pick them off. I don't know what it is about this Rangers side. Maybe because subconsciously they knew that their season was finished. Our players knew that we were still fighting for it, and maybe that's where the first 10 minutes especially, there was a right good battle. Both teams were really going for it, but as the game went on, you could see they weren't quite as strong in the tackle as we were. We were certainly more aggressive, we were more physical than they were, but we also played good football at times too, and the chances that we created just helped to add to the, maybe not a supremely confident feeling in the stadium, but I don't think anyone was overly worried at halftime after the chances that we saw that we were creating. And we knew that with a couple of tweaks and the bench started to look that wee bit stronger, there was every chance that in the second half, when Rangers have been falling away, that we were going to get even more chances and something special was going to happen.
So, halftime, Saint, I'm looking at the warming up and I could see that Tarecki wasn't... Actually, Ross Doon and Tarecki were not out in the park. I didn't think Doon was going to come on, but it was Tarecki that I spotted. All the other subs were out there. Tarecki wasn't on. I thought, right, okay, so McCowan's going off. The other thing that they'd had in the first half was Tavernier was like way up the pitch and they were pinging diagonal balls across to Tavernier. And then just that switch of bringing Tarecki on up against Tavernier and obviously telling to be right up. And then Yang over to the right, just that switch just seemed to cut that off for them. And then obviously Tarecki and Tierney linked up well. So talk us through your recollection, Saint, of the next two goals.
I have to say that I've saw the goals in the last half an hour before we come on there. And what an absolutely magnificent pass for Liam Scales. The weight of the pass and the sort of, it looked as if it had backspin on it, because my first reaction when he put it over the top was that that's going to run out of play. Tierney, to his credit, doesn't give up, he keeps on going. But I've got to say as well here, that, and this has been a pattern that we're all very, very aware of in the last 10 years or so. If I was a Rangers fan, then I would be saying, how the hell did Tavernier let Tierney get that cross in? Because at the game, I didn't appreciate it, but when I saw it in film recently, and I looked at it, and I thought, my God, that's poor. And you know, see when the ball went into the net, the camera sort of flashes by Tavernier, and you can see it in his face. He thinks to himself, I've ballsed up here. Because as much as it was a good goal for our point of view, for their perspective, then, you know, any bog standard fullback, I mean, even the likes of Ralston would have locked that and got out and maybe gave away a corner. Fair point of view, brilliant pass by Scales. Great for Tierney, always very good at getting a harder, more cross goal. But fair play to Maeda as well, because he's gambled. He's been quicker than the defender, and he's just nicked in and tucked it into the net. I thought it was a great goal. That was a goal. It's an obvious statement to make. That sent us on our way at that point, because we were in the ascendancy, and discussions at halftime with friends on about was saying that, you know, next team to score wins a tie. And I genuinely believe that. I think if Rangers had went 2-1 up, I don't think we'd be sitting here like Fortuneshire cats with the smiles that we've got. And in terms of the third goal, it's a bit of a blur. But I've got to say, I'm in 4-4-5, and it was slightly, not slightly, but we're above the play. And as soon as that came off his boot, I thought, that's Ginnan. Right, honestly, and I know everybody else was saying that, you know, maybe for a split second you weren't sure. And I was up at my seat, on my feet, because I just had that gut feeling that that's going into the net. But just because of the angle that I'm sitting at, and my God, what a goal. Imagine having the audacity to try that. And not just to try it, but to carry it off. It was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Andrew, I've watched it back.
Yeah,
and there's something... Tierney does a brilliant job, actually. When Tinecki decides to go down the line, Tierney just runs the opposite direction and blocks off Tavernier getting to him. It's one of those things that you don't, you know, that, getting back to one of my bugbears at the moment, stats don't show that.
Yeah.
Stats, you have to watch a game. Stats don't show that run that Tierney made that blocks off, that just gives Tinecki just that extra bit of space to put it in. And then the other thing, watching it back, because you've watched it maybe 50, 60 times now, there is a noise between it leaving Maeda's boot and it going in the back, and the cheer for it going in the back of it. There's another noise in the middle bit, which is almost like 50,000 people, 60,000 people taking an intake of breath as they suddenly realise this is going to be a goal. But before the cheer, before the goal... it's like this, just this, if you listen, anybody listening back, if you listen back to it, it's just this noise just before the cheer, so.
I kind of, what was your view of the gurgle? A satisfied gurgle. I have watched that again, and it's KT's part in it that does come to the fore when you watch, when you do repeated watchings of that goal. Do you know what reminds me a wee bit, Stevie? Remember, people never give him the credit, but Kenny D, Archie Gemmell's goal. You know, he blocks the guy off, doesn't he?
He sort of turns him at the side.
Yes.
And then the gap becomes, and Gemmell goes through the gap.
Yep. Well, that's kind of what Tierney did for, he did it for Tinecki, didn't he? Really? And then it comes off. But the thing is, it gets kind of cleared, half cleared, and it comes to Maeda. And it's just one, he flicks it up, doesn't he? He just kind of flicks it, and then the second one, he hoiks it right over the back of his head. But I must admit, outside of the equaliser to Dundee in the famous, infamous boycott game, that's the most kind of, I'm going to make up my own word here. We used to say to people, you can make up your own words. Shakespeare made up 15,000 words, apparently. It's the most bedlamic moment of the season among my family. We're just going absolutely berserk. Like, absolutely tonto, because you kind of knew the game was won, and you kind of knew that relief, and all these things about, you kind of knew it was going to be the first league win over Rangers in a year and a 18 half.
Months, a year and a half.
You kind of knew it was like Rangers weren't getting any Champions League football. It was all those things that were almost kind of cascading within your mind. It's amazing how you can kind of have all these thoughts that just swirl. And it was limbs, as the young people say, like Keith say, it was pure limbs, pure ecstasy, pure joy. That was the moment. We've been starved of a statement league win the entire season. A statement league win. Today was it. We've eventually got it. We need two more, because the next two would be statements as well. I'm not trying to jump the gun, Brian, but this was our first statement winning. How bizarre is it that that's 25 and a half years, first time in 25 and a half years Rangers have lost three consecutive league games. Who was in charge of Celtic when the last one happened? It was Dick Advocaat. That was the famous one that I know I keep referring to here, but nobody ever laughs when I bring this up in the podcast, but please laugh, guys. It's this kind of day. But they lost to St Johnston out in Perth. And the famous quote from Dick Advocaat, I think that was part of the three they lost in this. It was October 2000.
Well, Sully get the winner that day by a cracking goal. 25
yards. He did. He maybe did, actually.
Yeah, he did.
He maybe did. But he went right through them, because I think they went 13 points behind Celtic that day. And he went right through his players, and he said, I've got nothing but fat necks in this dressing room. which he was obviously, he was mis kind of translating big heads. So he called them fat heads. And I always love that because I could, like, could Keith, you were looking there, Keith, thinking, what's a fat neck? But it's obviously, it's like a big head. I remember seeing, I maybe told this on the podcast before, but the cameo, the reason why he ended up at Celtic is because he fell out with Capello. And he called him in front of all the players in the dressing room. And there was this Sunday Times, there was this Times article about what he'd called him. They said he'd called him penis face, right? But again, it's mistranslated because what he called him was dickhead. Have you ever heard anybody called somebody, penis hey face. You penis face, you know, so you're a dickhead. You're a fat neck, you're a fat neck penis face. What? What language is this people are speaking?
I think you should start using this type of terminology on Twitter when.
So incredible, incredible. It just like to quote another one that I always love, Frank Connor, like when he said about Jerry Craney missing a chance when he was throwing a goal, he said, throwing goal and the nappy come off. What you see with this Rangers team and what we've seen for this Rangers team consistently, because we had it with Clement's team. They took 55 points out of possible 50. It wasn't far off it with Bale's team. Again, it's that swing. They do it between October and March. Rangers have had good October to March seasons quite regularly. But when it really comes to the crunch, what happens? The nappy comes off.
Yeah, which is why...
Sorry, Brian, see about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we lost at Tannadice, Rangers were favourites.
Rangers favourites.
Absolutely. And it's astonishing that the way... It wasn't just the fact that they lost the three games there. They were 2-0 down to Falkirk. And I'm still convinced if they hadn't got the goal before half-time, they wouldn't have won that day. Because Falkirk would have re-energised at half-time and come out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Falkirk used that goal in the stroke of half-time, sort of set them back a wee bit, you know, psychologically. But, you know, the Rangers have been conceding a lot of goals as well recently, which gave us hope for today.
One of my mates is a Rangers fan. I continually use him as my point of reference when people say, oh, Rangers. The amount of times he's, you know, over these past few seasons, sends me texts about, this is the worst team I've ever seen. And he's not one of these people, Andrew, because he's like, and I am well aware of how shite we were under John Gregg. You know, he will reference, he's not like the Celtic fans who go, this is the worst team ever. And you think, you look about 70, so either you've had a really hard paper round or you didn't go in the 90s, because I have seen considerably worse than this. But the other thing, he said to me, I don't think we'll win a game after the split. Mm. Going into the split. He didn't. And you know, when they lost to Motherwell,
ask yourself, what kind of atmosphere are they going to have? Is it Wednesday they play Falkirk?
Hibs.
Hibs.
What kind of atmosphere are they going to have in Wednesday against Hibs? I mean, the place will be a morgue.
If Celtic weren't going, I'd quite fancy like heading along, using my green and white scarf for it.
And that was the thing that I noticed. See, once it went to 3-1, I mean, I'm in the North Stand upper, you know, they're in the opposite corner. Obviously, we're singing, so you don't tend to hear them anyway. But you can see if they're, even if you can't hear them, you can see if they're singing. They didn't make a noise. They knew at 3-1 that was it. They didn't make a noise. They weren't moving. I mean, they were disappearing. I don't know where they were going, because they couldn't leave the ground, but they were disappearing with 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go.
Down to the concourse and some sort of mad protest or something like that, because they didn't want to be there at the end of the game. I've seen this on Twitter. They didn't want to be there at the end of the game to sort of like, either cheer the players or lambast them or whatever they were going to do. But it was noticeable, because it occurred to me as well. I thought, I'm thinking to myself, I'm sure I heard an announcement there that they're not allowed out the stadium for I don't know how long after the game. But did our mutual friend Brian now say that he'd parked his car round about their buses and they did get out earlier?
They did. So I go down normally. So I used to park at the bottom of the Athletes' Village. I'm having to park a bit closer because my dad doesn't want to walk quite as far now. I ended up, when we got there, 11:15, Springfield Road was still shut. They had the metal barrier on Springfield Road, just where, if anybody knows Springfield Road, just at the end, just after the last road on the left-hand side, where it then started in the entrance to the Emirates Arena, just round about there. and it was still shut off. So I dropped my dad and then had to go all the way back to park a car because I couldn't find a parking space and then ran up. And but when we were coming back down, I could see lots and lots of police movement. So we cut right down to the Clyde side and walked along the Clyde side because I had to park further away anyway. So we walked along there and I could see police horses coming in and lots of police running over. So I think they had decided to then let the Rangers fans go after all. And I don't think
an act of mercy.
Well, see, a serious note, that's twice the people of my acquaintance, two Old Firm games of Derby games in a row, that the one at Ibrox.
Cut that bit.
You look hard.
You see, talking about Old Firm. So anyway, and a serious note, that's twice to me the police have bulged up. Because they bulged up when we had the full Broomland Road end in terms of where the buses parked and the segregation. And then also, as I said, there's a friend of Brian and I's, and he was talking about where he'd parked. Rangers fans were charging the word Celtic fans at their cars. The whole thing is that they should be kept in, and we should be kept in at Ibrox for a reason. To let the main body of the crowd leave so that the away supporters can leave in peace and quiet, if you like, but also without causing any distress or any trouble to anybody else. And I just don't think the police are up to it these days. Their crowd control is absolutely...
I think you're right. Yeah, they used to be good. I mean, they used to be whatever you thought
famed.
Of them.
Famed.
Yeah, the talk on the bus was that they'd opened the fire exit doors to get out and they were round about the Springfield Road area. So you could see the Clyde Gateway was a lot busier as we were driving down it on our bus. That was the big thing. Just to finish on the Aida thing, I sit in the south stand, but halfway up the Celtic end, so between the 18-yard box and the centre circle, and diagonally behind it is where we could see it, and it flicked up, and he went for it. I didn't think it was going in. I'm thinking, it was worth a try. It was going to go and hit the corner flag or something. But when as it started to dip and then hit the side netting, I don't think I've jumped as high as I had there. I nearly hit the TV screen in the top of the south stand. It was ridiculous. My son as well. As you said, the celebration for that one was stunning. And for Dyson Maeda, who looked as if he was in his way out last summer, probably going to be leaving this summer, for a player who's done so well for us in Celtic Rangers games, just that energy, as you said, and made Tavernier make so many mistakes, for him to get a goal that probably lifts him up from being a hero to possibly legendary status. One of the ones that we're going to look back in years to come now for that overhead kick against them. I think that was quite a fitting way. The other thing was it was a lovely bookend to Martin O'Neill's career in these derbies, because if you think of the first Celtic Rangers game that he had, my first Celtic Rangers game as well, incidentally, I'd only got my seat in the south stand 2 weeks earlier. He had the Henrik Larsson chip a keeper goal. And then for Dyson Maeda to score that overhead kick to finish it off was just a fitting tribute for Martin O'Neill, and just how he can change the mentality of these players and raise them up to get to those heights. I thought that was just spectacular and so fitting for today. Mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago when that double rainbow was in Celtic Park, thought something special was going to happen towards the end of the season. Now I'm starting to believe it myself.
Steady.
I can't wait.
I'll tell you.
Oh, I did say to Andrew about hope.
I know. Can I pick up on Keith's point? If that's true about them bashing in the fire exit doors to get out, we've got it there. In a nutshell, the difference between us and them, we batter in the fire exit doors to get into the game. They batter the fire exit doors to get out.
I do think one of the compounding problems, saying about the policing of it, is because we've had periods with no away support, I think the other thing is not only do the police unfamiliar with how to police a larger element at the game, but I wouldn't have parked where I normally park, but I've now just got into the way of... You wouldn't have had any Celtic fans going up and down Springfield Road 10 plus years ago, because even if that was where you went every other game, you wouldn't have gone anywhere near Springfield Road on the day of a Celtic Rangers game. The other thing is the fans themselves, or both sets of fans probably, have got out of the mindset of, I just steer clear of that whole section of the area around our ground on a day when the opposite. And that's probably the other compounding bit. It's probably not just the police. It's probably just, and I'm not saying fan behaviour in terms of misbehaviour. I'm meaning fan behaviour in terms of just their access. I'm just going to keep accessing the ground the same way I always do, because it doesn't enter your head that it needs to be an area divert because you've had so long of no supporters.
I mean, my son's 22 and he's fascinated when I tell him the story that when I started going in the 70s to Celtic Rangers games at Celtic Park, no Celtic fan would have been near London Road. I mean, the Rangers at that time probably got an allocation between 15 and 20,000 and had a third of the stadium. Celtic would probably had maybe 35 to 40,000. They had two-thirds. But we came in from the Gallagher end, down for the Royal off the motorway, and then along the Gallagher. And the Rangers fans tended to come from Glasgow Cross direction and along by Bridgeton and park there. And the London Road was a no-go area for Celtic fans back then. It doesn't seem that long ago now, but we're going back over 30 years. But in those days, I mean, just one wee story is an aside. The first, a friend of mine from Manchester, first Celtic Rangers game, I took him to, we get the bus for Govan, onto the motorway, never seen a Rangers fan. We come off the motorway, never seen a Rangers fan, right along the Gallagher, all you can see is green and white, and he says to me at this point, "Do Rangers have any fans at the game today?" I says, "There's 20,000 of them, and you'll hear them before you see them." And when he got into the stadium and he saw that big massive Rangers end that we used to have, the big massive garrison, he's like, "Where did they come from?" Because he literally had been travelling for an hour and hadn't seen them, because the police were so good then at the segregation and the motorway points and roads and cutting off and making sure that there was no flash points. That it was very, very impressive back then, and I think we've lost that now. I don't think the police are worthy of the name, to be honest. Because another thing that annoys me about the police is it's always everybody else's fault. It's never their fault for not preparing it right. It's not never their fault for not planning it right. That annoys me.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, Andrew, about the cascading thoughts as you're going through as the third goal goes in about what it means. It means that win our two games, we're guaranteed the title. It means Rangers are third in a two-horse race. It means we've ended that run of losing games against Rangers. It means there'll probably be another Rangers manager next season that we face at the start of next season. I mean, it's just, you're just thinking, incredibly, we are now just three wins away from a double in a season where uniformly we admit that it's probably been the crappiest we've played in 20, 30 years. All of these thoughts just come into your head.
Yeah.
When that third goal goes in, and then we saw out the game. That was the other thing. We were pretty comfortable seeing out the game.
Yeah, Rangers didn't really live it, apart from hitting the goal frame. Yeah, a couple of minutes to go. But you didn't have those real kind of scary moments, those kind of heart and mouth moments. They didn't really arrive. Celtic decided to, you wanted to get greedy and think, go for a fourth. Because 4-1, mm-hmm. I always think, is a different quantum for even 3-1. It's bizarre. It takes you into
another. 4-1's a doon.
4-1's a doon. In
general terms, everybody think 4-1's a bit of a doon.
It is. 3-1's kind of, you've won well, but. Yeah, but
4-1's
a doon.
4-1, you gave him a doon.
Yeah, it just takes it somewhere different, doesn't it? But the other thing is what today did, and I can't remember, but I did a piece with the Scotsman about 5 years ago. I was interested, Celtic. Because I think it was 27 years, so I can't remember when I did it. It was 27 years Celtic had been finished in the top two in Scottish football. Now that's up to, is it maybe 32 years or something? Stevie, from 95, 96, so how many years is that?
94, 95 is the last time that we didn't finish the top two.
Right, so it's now 30
so
years.
So this is 31.
Is it 31? Maybe 31. So 31 years, I looked at every single league table from the 55 European nations and looked at who had finished in the top two. And Shakhtar Donetsk were only a couple of seasons short of Celtic finishing the top two. They were the only one. But Celtic, with today, there's another wee bit of history created. Celtic are the only club across the 55 European nations who have finished in the top two for every one of the last 31 years. Doesn't it really mean much to apart from the nerds, but it's quite something. And you think, and some guy wrote to me after I did the thing, Celtic, this money and that money and da-da-da. I said, but Rangers have had much more money than the teams that, when they're like against the finished 30 and Aberdeen, did 30 and Aberdeen, was it a couple of Aberdeens?
St. Hearts in 2006 finished second and get into the
Hearts in 2006,
so and that was another one. But the one thing I never understood, maybe somebody can explain this, what was it, the Olympiacos connection a few weeks back? Because they were all saying the Rangers win the league and the Olympiacos, I think, don't win the league or something, by some sort of fate, Rangers would be automatically put into the group stages.
They would have been. They would have been, because they would have the highest score if they had to become champions. But the champions route has got a special direct entry for the highest coefficient champions that's in the champions route.
And that would have been them.
That would have been Rangers. That's gone now for them. That's gone because...
How gone must that be for the directors? Because they'd have been banking them.
Kavanagh and Parath were rubbing their hands at that. They thought, we've won a watch here. Like 3 weeks ago, they thought...
Was it £40 million in January they spent?
Well, they spent £48 million is
over the year.
Over the year, net. £48 million netto, as Paolo Di Canio used to say, netto. Like, £48 million netto, which is the largest net spend of any Scottish club in a single season. To get third.
To get Conference League football, unless we win the cup. Is that right, Keith? They need us to win the cup so they can get the Europa League. Is that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah. That's how it works. It may be chucking it.
What's more special? What's more special? Getting a double or seeing Rangers not achieving what they want? To be in this position, the year that we've had has been absolutely ridiculous. Just how we saw out the game, like you mentioned, I think it was about the 5th minute. We had a breakaway in Rio Hatate who'd just come on. Didn't seem too into the game, but he did everything we were asking of him. Out of possession, I think we were in a 4-4-2. So, as Saint mentioned in the first half, we had Negrin pressing up high and Rio was doing the same. And he does that really, really well. He's done it since Ange was here, I'm pretty sure. That was great, but we had a breakaway and there was no pass on for him. I think Nacho was through the middle, but he was surrounded by maybe three players. So he turned back and we kept the ball. We played this out like champions, like we've been here before, that we knew we had those two goals. We didn't need to go and force it.
Yeah.
We know that goal difference might not be crucial because if we win our remaining games, then that takes care of that. But there was a bit where the ball, I think we either got a free kick or the ball went out and Callum McGregor just raised his hands and applauded the Celtic end, the North Curve. After the match, he talks about the atmosphere as well. I thought today was pretty special and how we've came together at the right time just to galvanise this team, and everybody is all pushing in the same direction for this league title. That's the main thing just now. I thought the atmosphere was absolutely terrific. I thought the players responded accordingly as well, and it was pretty special to see, even full time. Plenty of people were staying behind. Nobody was racing to get to their cars, to the buses. Everybody was applauding the team, and we seemed unified just now, and hopefully that's going to continue over at least the next two games. If you're saying that Rangers might end up in the conference if we get beat Dunfermline, then that's fine. That's maybe the league's all we deserve this year.
Firstly, I don't know if anyone wants to comment. I thought towards the end, every single time there was players that were within 6 feet of each other, Nick Walsh and a Rangers player would fall over, Nick Walsh would give a free kick to Rangers. Mm-hmm. I thought they were getting everything in the final 5-10 minutes. And then I don't know if you saw it, in that last minute or two, when the ball comes, Sinisalo gets the ball, somebody taking a shot, and he did that thing that keepers do. Dives down on it. And he doesn't, you know, like, Joe Hart and Schmeichel, who are older, they would have lay on that ball for a good 10, 15 seconds, then got up. He's on it for 2-3 seconds, lying down for 2-3 seconds, then gets up. Nick Walsh immediately starts doing the counting. I have not seen a ref do that at Celtic Park this season with all the time-wasting stuff that the Diddy clubs do. Nick Walsh was doing that as soon as he stood up with the ball.
Yeah. I mean, see, to pick up on Keith's point, that you know what was noticeable about the instance he described there, about Atati kind of turning back and playing it back? When you think about the grumbles and the groans, a cheer went up when he did it. That's how it's everything Keith's talking about. The kind of we've congealed again, you know, we've come together again, like we are a one again. And it was like, yeah, you can even pass it back. You're 3-1 up against Rangers and you're just seeing it. Whoa! Hurrah!
I thought Callum McGregor and Arne Engels were really aggressive and physical, particularly in the second half, in the middle of the pitch. I thought they did a great job. So, and I've just remembered as you were speaking, Keith, in the Celtic app, which I rarely do the predictor, I had Celtic to win 3-1 with Yang scoring the first goal.
It's not a predictor you want, it's William Hills you should have been putting it on.
I know. The only thing is, I then put in that Yang would score after 9 minutes when it was them that scored after 10 minutes.
The one thing I want to mention just in passing, in case we forget, is that I thought that was a brilliant banner. A lot of the times the Green Brigade do stuff and it's maybe like, I don't know, like, what's the word I want to use? It's insensitive or controversial. The Benny Lynch thing I thought was brilliant, you know what I mean? And just that thing, we'll fight to the very end. And to me, that set the tone, because I think the fans said, you know something, see if we're going to go down here, we're going to go down the right fight. And as Keith was saying, a brilliant atmosphere. Everybody was up for it. But I thought that banner was terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just detail, even the ropes.
The ropes.
The four ropes going round this side as well. It was so clever. The guys.
It was
sometimes
the best on the Glasgow Celtic. You know what I mean? Just everything about it, I thought, was tremendous.
So that's us. Two games to go. Keith, what's happening?
Motherwell's the one that I've been most worried about. When I saw all the fixtures coming in, I thought we would be able to eke out results and all the ones running up to it. But Motherwell is the one that I'm probably most worried about because they've probably played the best football against us any time we've seen them this season. I'm a little bit less worried. Providing everybody's fine, there's no injuries from today, then I think that squad, maybe not McCown starting wide right, but that squad should have enough to keep it really, really tight against Motherwell, who I think Motherwell seemed to have a couple of injuries last night when I was watching the game. I think we should have enough to get something at Fir Park on Wednesday night. I don't think it's shown live on the TV. They've just seen on Sky Sports they're going to show any highlights from it during the Hearts Falkirk game on Wednesday night. So that'll be interesting.
What's no live? I just assumed it would be on.
Yeah. So we're all going to Isle of Man to watch it in international waters and see it on Celtic TV there, I'm sure.
I will be undercover in that game. I'm going undercover. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm still in that upper room with Jesus, you know, like, and I'm saying to him, yeah, were you really crucified and you really risen? I want to see these marks, you know, until I see green and white ribbons on this championship trophy, on this SPFL trophy next Saturday. I'm not there believing that it will happen. I agree with Keith. These are the three games you should have been able to kind of scrabble out wins from. It's like you've got to show your mettle to win at Fir Park. They've only lost, that was the 10th goal they'd lost at home all season last night, I think. And five of them were against Falkirk in a couple of games. So this isn't a team that give up that much. And I know people didn't think they played that well last night against Hearts. Still in spells, you thought, wow, you could see them troubling Celtic the way they play. The way they play, the geometry of the pitch, the way they understand the geometry of the pitch. Their sharp passing wasn't quite coming off of them last night, but, you know, Celtic are the kind of team I think they'll enjoy playing. And seem to enjoy playing. Because it's a football contest. So,
amongst Sinisalo's not get the holes in his hands, that's the only thing that matters.
I saw talking to a guy who couldn't get his hands higher enough up. I see he was clapping the team off today.
Schmeichel, yeah.
Kasper Schmeichel. People saying as if they had left already and all this. He's still part of the squad.
No, he was still there.
But I could see a draw. And then a draw becomes really problematic because I think Hearts will run over the top of Falkirk at Tynecastle on Wednesday night. I think they will run over the top of Falkirk. That's just the difference. Yeah. So then.
Right. Well, I was always going to do
talking
right.
of Jesus. Talking of Jesus, he's going to say hello to Jesus. Should I go on yeah. this morning like the rest of us?
Right. Right. See you later, Saint. Well, I'm gonna end shortly anyway. So see you later, Saint.
Well, what do you want to say quickly? Like, what do you think will happen quickly. Wednesday?
What do you think will happen Wednesday?
Love it.
All right. Well, actually, do you know what? I'll end the podcast for that.
So I was going to
Thanks
say,
very much.
That's
Steve.
As good as you get. I've needed that, Stevie. Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me